A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Tate, can you say Rob Tate. Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Rob Widdicombe.
Well done.
I just heard you whisper the word Tate.
What's it got? Brother and sister Poe and Toe.
It is. This is...
the fucking chipmunks.
His name is Tate Bold.
Tate Bold.
Like Steve Bold, but Tate.
Tate Bold. Oh, there's that Andrew Tate on the internet that's really annoying. Have you seen much of him?
What do you reckon?
I'm in a different echo chamber to you, aren't I?
You are in a different echo chamber to me. This is Tate introducing the pod. He's nearly two. July the 2nd. Born on my birthday, so my birthday's disappeared, as you'll appreciate. That's one we've never discussed before.
What's that?
Having your kid's birthday, so your birthday gets completely blown out of the water.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen to us. We're quite good. I have seen, though, Tate is both a boy's name and a girl's name of English. Norse origin, meaning cheerful. And also Emma Bunton, Baby Spice, her son is called Tate.
Is he? Mm. And this is Tate Bold from Telford.
Tate Bold from Telford.
Oh.
Telford Tate.
Did you just hear that?
What?
Hello?
What's happening? Yeah.
My
you sound like a fucking Muppet.
But what did you hear then? Because I...
Nothing apart from...
What's the equivalent of, on an Apple computer of Siri? You know, like, not Siri. Fucking hell, I'm tired.
That is Siri. Apple is Siri.
Oh, yeah, that is Siri. So I just got a Siri just kicked in for the first time ever on this computer.
All right.
And it said, do you want to take balls to Telford? I was like, what the fuck's going on here?
Oh, because he heard, yeah, or maybe you said, hey, Siri, when we were talking. Oh, no, I've done it now. She's talking to me. But just through my headphones. No one else is getting it. Is it a she? People are saying we are too rude. People are rude to women because of Siri. Because you don't say please or thank you. So I say please and thank you to her on the...
Oh,
on the car, because
nice.
If I press a button on my phone, I can ask it to play a song.
Do you use it in the car?
Well, yeah, so if I'm driving the car, I press the side, I'm driving, concentrating, but if I hold the side button on my phone, it goes, boom, and I go, hey Siri, play Could Have Been Me by Halsey again, or Sky Full of Stars from Sing 2, Taron Egerton again. Please, Siri?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, now she's actually playing it now. This is a joke. Yeah, it does work. Okay, right, that's that stop.
What a start to the podcast. Absolute carnage.
Okay, sorry.
How are you, Rob?
I tell you what, I'm back
from
the...
Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt and say, I thought this was going to be a podcast. We discussed you're excited about being about Glastonbury.
Yes.
It now feels like, I don't know if people are aware of the news, but you've been in the press because you were away on Joe Swash's stag do with Dean Gaffney.
Yeah.
And really, I feel like we should start with Glastonbury because that is really, if I'm honest with you, merely the warm-up to the anecdote of Joe Swash's stag do with Dean Gaffney is how people imagine Rob Beckett lives.
Well, it sounds like the start of one of your routines about the 90s.
It does, doesn't it?
So basically, imagine Joe Swash's stag do, Gaffney's there, you do that as your intro and do your punchline.
Exactly.
I feel quite good, but you feel you sound a bit sadder than me. Should
we
start with you?
So this is Tuesday morning.
I got home yesterday from the stag do. You got back from Glastonbury Sunday night, was it?
Sunday night.
And yep. It's the Tuesday now. So we had to. We were a bit out of sync, so we had to record in advance of these trips. So
yes.
It's been about a week.
But it's good because we get a strong live reaction to how our weekends were.
Yes. And how was Glastonbury? You sound tired.
I've got a fear there won't be a huge amount of parenting in this episode. I do apologise.
Do you know, no, there is, because I still haven't spoken about Sports Day. The second one.
The second one? Oh, God, I forgot.
Because I went to the Sports Day on the Friday before I flew to Ibiza.
Well, tell me about that, and then we'll get on to Glastonbury.
Right, OK, so Sports Day, I tell you, it's so far down my list of things to talk about after... I write little notes, but I can't even find it anymore. Oh, here it is. Yeah, so... Oh, right, OK, yeah. Some of the notes I've written drunk. I was drunk for 3 days.
Drunk at Sports Day?
No, I wasn't drunk at Sports Day, but I was drunk for 3 days. So if anyone's messaged me and I've not messaged back, or just messaged me again because my phone's been off... Yeah, oh, Sports Day. So basically, my daughter did well in her Sports Day. Their team won. I spoke about that.
Your younger daughter?
She came third. Anyway, so youngest. You know the one I said that loves sport, loves running?
Loves sport. Loves breaking rules.
Yeah, actually, though, we had a bit of a nightmare this morning. I did a school drop-off this morning because she nicked that little thing from school. Anyway, So I said to her, look, we've got to take that back now to the teacher and you need to, say sorry for taking it and give it back. She went, no, I don't want to. And she's getting all upset. So I said, look, and I said, which I think was bad parenting, Josh, I said, why don't you put the toy in your pocket and sneak it back in?
Oh, yes, please.
So now I'm like...
sneaking it back in.
Oh, and then anyway, she went, no, you give it to her, but don't tell him I took it. And anyway, so I had it in my pocket. And I said to her, as we walked away, do you want to give them back to her or do you want me to give it back to the teacher? And then she went, but I found it outside on the pirate ship, which is like the play frame. So I didn't.
Now.
I don't know where
come
to put it. Because we're not going back. No, I think she did, though. Because she said, I don't know where to put it because I found it on the play park. Then I felt bad. She's not really nicked a toy. Yeah. This one's a bit of plastic she found in the park.
God.
So now she's going, I don't want it in my pocket because I don't know where to put it because I won't be back on the... they go to the pirate ship just before they go to the library on like a Thursday. So now I'm like, oh, no. So now I've got her in this little lie. And then in the end, I said, look, give it to me. And then I gave it to her and I gave it to teachers. And I said, oh, she accidentally took this home. So I'm bringing it back to you. And I gave her a good old like cartoon wink to the nursery lady.
Lovely.
And she went, it's okay. Lots of kids accidentally take it home. But then she got all cuddly because I've been away. She was going, I don't want to go into school. And all started crying.
I thought you meant the nursery lady. I was just totally unacceptable.
Right, calm down, miss. Right, I know it was an accident, but let's keep it clean at the gates.
It was the wink you'd given her. That was the problem, Rob. You gave her the wink.
It's amazing. I winked at her and she started getting off with me. And then she was all clingy. And then eventually, luckily, it was one of the nursery teachers' birthdays. So I was like, oh, it's Missy's birthday. And they've got balloons and she's brought in popcorn. And she was in a sulk. But as soon as she heard that, she was like, oh, no, I want to go into the nursery. But I've made a point saying I don't want to go in.
God. Oh,
so then
God.
I went, I'm going to put you down because my arm's aching. And then I put her down. And then eventually they took her in. But that was quite difficult to deal with after a busy weekend of a crying child at the school gates because you've been trying to coerce her into lying about theft.
Yes, that is not a good situation, Rob, because you haven't really got to the bottom of it either, have you? But we'll see how it plays out when she hits her teenage years, I suppose.
What I will say is, though, if she is going to be a criminal, like a bank robber, she's fast enough to get away with a crime, because Sports Day, they had the sprint, the sack race, egg and spoon, and beanbag on the head. She won every race.
No.
By a country...
fucking hell.
By like, actually...
So where's this come from?
What do you mean? I've got
come
skills.
On, Rob. Is Lou fast?
I don't play in Soccer Aid because I'd be too good and it'd be embarrassing for everyone involved.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, of course. That's the exact reason.
No, Lou's dad is an exceptional athlete.
Is he?
He's run marathons. He beat me at squash to the point it felt like I was playing Roger Federer. It was same thing, isn't it? Racket in a room.
Yeah, well, there's not really a room in tennis, but there we go. If the roof's on at Wimbledon.
Technically a room. Anyway, no, he's really good. When he came on my stag do, he played like bubble football with us in a normal football. Yeah. He was absolutely destroying all of us at the age of like 55. Blimey. He's run marathons. He's really good at squash. He's just a really good athlete, cyclist. And Lou's sister's like a dancer and now a yoga teacher and all like that. And Lou's pretty strong and pretty fast as well, to be honest. So I think it's from that side.
Are you excited about your future as the father of the new, you know, Dina Asher-Smith.
The new Dina Asher-Smith.
That's a name, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not that.
It is a name. It's just the thought of me being Dina Asher-Smith's father doesn't work in any way, sort of.
No.
If you had to find someone that looked less like my daughter, I think it would be Dina Asher-Smith.
Yeah, but yes, I get that point. But are you excited about being the father of new Dina Asher-Smith? Or are you worried that your whole life is now going to be weekend athletics meets?
What I would say is going to be difficult is I've got the thirst of a competitive dad.
Oh, no.
I got into it.
Come on, lift up your feet. Come on. Technique.
No, not even that. I don't think I'm going to be bad like that. Like, on a case. I'm very relaxed like that. I'm quite chilled about that. But I love it when she wins.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Too much.
Can you imagine how much the other parents hated you? Oh, here comes the bloody comedian. Oh, he thinks he's funny, does he? And then suddenly his daughter's fucking Carl Lewis. Unbelievable.
But also, because they're all boys she was up against. And she's massive. I didn't realise how tall she was until I saw her.
What, your daughter?
Yeah, and she's so far.
Usain Bolt was tall. Still is.
I reckon Lou's shagging Roger Black or something. There's no way that she doesn't look like my daughter. She's near enough in the same realm as Dina Asher-Smith of not looking like my daughter. Of this long, lean, rangy kid that's fast.
Imagine if Lou's been having an affair with Roger Black. And she was like, oh my God.
What an old
reference. This is
going
to give it away.
What an old reference.
Yeah, I know. You'd have put £1 million on that being me rather than you. But there we go.
Oh, dear.
Lou might have to go to your daughter. Can you ease off in the races? Because it's going to reveal who your real dad is.
Yeah, basically. But as she was doing it, like, the first one she won quite convincingly. And then it happened with all the rest. And then I was having a bit of banter with the dads. I was like, go on, really like that. And then someone said, oh, you've got a bit of an athlete in your hands there. Like, a bit of joking. She did the first one well. And then by the fourth one that she smashed, it was a bit awkward. And then one of the last ones, one of the other boys took the lead. And the dad next to me was like, go on, like that. But I could tell he really wanted it. He was like me. And I respect that. You just want your kid to win. Yeah.
Wasn't even his kid. He just wanted your daughter not to win.
And then I got a bit carried away and I'm excited. And then when she won, he went, yeah, but it's the taking part that counts. I went, yeah, that's what losers say, mate. And I was going, light work. Yes, light work. But in a jokey way. But I think they probably hated me.
Yeah, I think they probably did.
But, you know, that's the price of, you know, that's what Judy Murray had to put up with. But then, you know.
Exactly.
And then
Rob.
She did Strictly and everyone loved her. So that's what happened
exactly.
with me.
Exactly. Well, that, we all thought that's where your career was going anyway. So that's good.
Yeah.
I think you could get on Strictly in your own right. You don't need to wait until your daughter's won a gold medal at the Olympics, Rob.
I mean, that would be a weird choice, wouldn't it? Finally, you've won gold. I can get on there. But the other thing I said to Lou is, Lou cannot watch sport. She gets too invested, even if she doesn't care.
Yeah, my mum was like that. We couldn't go to Plymouth Argyle with her. She got too emotional.
100%. I'll be watching Arsenal play, and she's like, who do we want to win? I'm like, oh, the Reds.
Yeah.
And then she's sort of watching behind my shoulder. She goes, oh. I'm like, watch. They're nearly letting a goal. I was like, Lou, you care more than me. You don't even like football. She's like, I know, but if they need to win and they're not winning, it's not good, is it? I'm like, I think you need help. That's not right.
Yeah, Lou, you don't want to support Arsenal, mate. You'll have an awful life.
But I said to her, I said if one of our daughters does athletics or does any sport, your life's going to be hell.
Yeah, well, it's looking that way. She shouldn't have shagged Roger Black, Rob.
Well, this is all your fault for shagging Roger Black. Roger Black, I've not said that name for years, Roger Black.
Bizarrely, I was talking about him last week.
Not bizarrely for you, mate. You love that. You've not spoke about an athlete since 1999.
I knew Dina Asher-Smith. I was 70% confident on her name.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Roger Black's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy.
If you go on Roger Black's concert, go on Roger Black's Wikipedia, right?
No, I've been on his website recently.
No, but look at his Wikipedia. Just because the photo they've used, he has got the biggest microphone I've ever seen. It looks like a fucking tennis ball.
What's going on? He looks like he's about to be hit by a tennis ball.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
I'm watching it. It's a photo, you fucking idiot. I'm watching it. It looks like what happens next. After the break. And then Roger catches it and goes, cool, always an athlete.
Oh, God, that is incredible.
That's got to be a wind-up. How loud is it? Where are they reporting from?
Roger Black's very quiet.
I know he's sneaking in my house when I'm at work.
Yeah, he was shagging Lou upstairs while you were downstairs. I met someone who told me that they knew Roger Black in the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't across Roger Black, so I went on his website. Yeah. Like,
he's got kids, get him on.
Yeah, I'd love to get him. He's got more kids than you realise, Rob.
He says two on here, but it looks like three from the podium results.
So Roger Black now, if you go on his website, I was reading his website, yeah.
He's got a website?
Yeah.
I suppose he's a broadcaster now, isn't he? I've seen his microphone.
Here we go. You get down to the bit where he talks about Roger Black's fitness equipment range.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I thought this statistic stuck with me. This can't be true. Roger Black Fitness folding and static exercise equipment features in over 250,000 UK homes.
No.
250,000 people have got a Roger Black treadmill, rowing machine, or cross trainer. That is not true.
It's like the George Foreman, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've never met anyone that's got one.
They're fairly well prized.
250,000 people. That can't be fucking true.
If anyone listening has got a Roger Black, well, this is like a small business shout. So it's £300 for an exercise bike, £179 for a folding one, £450 for a proper treadmill. That seems good value.
Yeah, of course they're good value. He's selling a 250,000 of the fuckers. He must be loaded.
It's only got 70 reviews on Trustpilot. I have bollocks, he sold 250,000.
Anyway,
I'll tell you what, I bet the Sun journalist listening to this for the stag do gossip is livid that they've wasted 10 minutes on Roger Black.
See on the front of the Sun a story about Roger Black fabricating statistics about his sales of treadmills, you'll know where they got it from.
Roger Black scoop from the Parent in Hell pod. Oh, God. Well, that was Glastonbury, then we'll do our beef. That was the lowdown from the sports day that she's really fast.
So the worst thing about coming back from Glastonbury is you're no longer looking forward to Glastonbury. Do you know what I mean? I didn't realise how much it had driven me through for the last month of my life through work, if you know what I mean.
So that's just been the thing you've been looking forward to and you enjoyed, but now it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've had your summer holiday as well, haven't you?
Yeah, my summer holiday.
You've peaked too early, Josh.
I know. I've gone too soon. But it's because you don't want to do it during the summer holidays when your kids don't have to.
Fair enough.
I ran back from nursery and I was like, for the last month, all I've been listening to is people I want to see at Glastonbury to get myself excited. And I was like, I just don't think I can listen to music again now. I think I'm done with it. I think I'm going to have to take a break.
You've had your fill.
Yeah.
How was it though? Because you haven't been since kids, have you?
It was incredible. I haven't been since kids.
It seems like it was a good one.
So the worst thing about it is when you get back and other people that don't have kids are complaining about how knackered they are. And you're like, mate, you're just sitting at home watching the Glastonbury coverage with a curry on Sunday night. I'm literally, my daughter, I think because we'd been away for a few days, we made the mistake of telling her we'd been camping and she wanted to go camping.
Oh, no.
Absolute fucking error of the highest order.
Same happened with me. My daughter's desperate to go Ocean Beach. She just loves little orange cups.
She'd love tomato swash.
She just wants to scream well hard at a man that's not been on EastEnders for 25 years.
So it was incredible to go there. It was so good because I just don't remember another time in the last 5 years where we've had total freedom to do whatever we want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That feeling of going, oh, we can just get up and do whatever we want.
And that was fun, was it?
Yeah, Rob. You're with all your friends in a field.
But what about the people with babies? Did they take the baby?
Yeah.
How was that?
I bumped into another comedian, Stuart Goldsmith, and he had his, what are they, 6 and 2,
about
maybe?
About my age, I think. I think they're about the similar age as mine, like 6 and 3, yeah.
Yeah, 6 and 3. And they were sat there.
He loves all that, though. He's like a festival bloke.
Yeah, exactly. But I could see it in his eyes, Rob. We were walking through. We had our beers. We walked past him. It was about 6 p.m.
Yep.
And he was sat there in the cafeteria bit backstage trying to get his kids to eat a baked potato. And I thought, mate, don't pretend this is what you want to be doing.
There's no way Glastonbury is fun with children. You are fucking lying to yourself. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Oh, so you're walking away from the pyramid stage after Crowded House, right?
Yep.
And it's...
It's 1999.
It was a long old walk, right? We're walking away from the pyramid stage after Crowded House, yeah? And it is chocker. So, you know, like... Say, you must have been in a situation like you're walking away from a football ground or whatever, where it's like...
So, like I think a lot of people, if you've ever been to Wembley Stadium for a gig,
yeah.
You know when you... Because I've been to Glastonbury, I know how busy it gets. That little, you know when they stop you in that Wembley Way bit by the because they have to do the tubing stages?
Yeah, exactly. It's literally, you think, well, I couldn't even sit down in this situation. And then we're walking along on the main thoroughfare away from which 100,000 people are using. And I'm like, why is the crowd splitting in two and then going back together in a minute?
Yeah, Moses.
And we got to that point, I looked down and there was a woman sat breastfeeding a 6-month-old in the middle of the thoroughfare.
Now, I'm all for stopping to breastfeed when you need. I'm no old school guy. Pop your tits away. It's a prize. You know, if you need to breastfeed, whip them out whenever. No problem.
Exactly.
But that feels dangerous.
It felt like, because she was so low. She was, her head's knee high.
What, emotionally?
No, she was pretending she was loving it. But come on. Everyone with a kid at Glastonbury.
I think that would be Lou's idea of hell. If you had to design a hell for Lou, it would be to breastfeed in public and whilst 100,000 people walk past and also causing a bit of an obstruction.
Yeah.
Couldn't she shimmy to the side?
No, there was no room to shimmy.
So was she actually on the floor, cross-legged?
Yeah.
Did she have people protecting her or was she solo?
It was difficult to see because the crowd was parting. So in many ways, you know, if you're worried, is there enough privacy in this situation? There couldn't have been more privacy because you couldn't see anywhere. Do you know what I mean? In a way.
Sure.
She was just suddenly at your feet, which is almost a Crowded House lyric. And she was there. And then you're just like, when you'd see people, I saw someone with a very small baby at Paul McCartney.
It's more for them than the kid. I think it's different when the kid's like 8 or 9.
Well, you just think, I don't think you need to be here. Do you know what I mean? We didn't go when we had kids. If you want to go, fine. But don't go to prove a point that you're enjoying this.
Yeah.
But there was people with older kids. Like Hilsey was there and his kids are, 11 and 9 or whatever they are, around that age. And they went to all their bands and they had a really good time.
I think that's when they're like that. But when they're babies or toddlers, it's too much. Like if a 10-year-old can stay up late.
Stuart Goldsmith said to his kid, I said, what's your favourite thing been so far? And his kid looked back at me and just went, shopping? And I just thought, you're getting nothing out of this. Shopping.
What shopping can you do there?
Well, there's like, you can buy... Do you know what you can fucking buy, Rob? A bucket hat in a million. You know,
really?
It's all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Bucket hats were back bigger than Glasto this year, weren't they?
You've really reinvigorated the bucket hat industry single-handed.
I just think it coincided with it being fashionable. By accident, it was high end fashion, the bucket hat, and then everyone went for it.
Yeah.
Good luck to them. I should have brought our hat, shouldn't I? Could have made a fortune this summer.
You could have made so much money. But I was up till 3, Rob. 3. I haven't been up till 3. 3 a.m. I was still up at 7 because that body clock's not making any difference.
How much sleep do you reckon you got at Glastonbury?
4 hours a night for 3 nights.
Fuck.
Less than at home.
I just can't deal with the smugness at Glastonbury, though.
Rob.
There's a lot of smugness knocking about. Like,
Rob, it's my people.
It's just that little, like, grin. We're at Glasgow.
Be careful, Rob, because it is fucking parenting hell fan central at Glastonbury. The stiff necks are out in force for parenting hell.
There must have been a trade-off. I did not see one stiff neck for 3 days in Ibiza.
No, I've got a fear.
I didn't. Do you know what else happened in Ibiza, Josh? I didn't meet a Spanish person. Apart from the airport, I did not meet one Spanish person in 3 days.
So have you got any other questions about Glastonbury, or should we move on to my 600 questions about a stag do with Dean Gaffney?
Go on, unless you've got anything else to have, but basically you just went there, didn't sleep much, had a great time.
I had a great time, and I would happily go again. I loved it.
Yeah.
It just makes you value your friends, Rob. Just hanging out with your friends.
Maybe what we should do is when our kids are older, like 10, 11, we should go and get a big like caravan thing and do the show live in Glastonbury with the kids.
Oh my God, yes.
But they'll hate us by then and probably tell us to stop doing all the stories. Exactly. That's what Jonathan Ross said to me.
What?
He went, about this podcast, he went, enjoy it while you can. I was like, well, he always has them sort of like cryptic things. He went, well, yeah, I used to talk about what my kids did on Radio 2 all the time. And then it got to 12 when you can't use that story. I was livid. I'd get on the radio and go, that's the best story I had.
So, oh, God. Right.
Until they, you know, they're not aware of what's going on, I'm sure it'll be fine. And exactly. No, I'll ask one question about Glasgow, then we'll do the stag do.
Yeah.
When you got home, talk me through how tired you were, what time you got home and what you had to do childcare-wise.
4:30 on Sunday.
PM?
PM.
Right.
Yeah. Totally fucked. Completely exhausted. Just in a really low place. And then you're parenting. And then
parenting. I don't know why it makes me laugh when you call it parenting. Just, I don't
that's
know
what it is.
I know that's what it is. But it's like, you sometimes talk about it when you talk about doing a certain gig. You know you're on the last leg. You know when you're parenting, it sort of slots in as a little job you do now and again.
It's because I divide my life up into the different versions of myself.
Oh, that explains it.
None of whom allow me to understand who the real me is.
Now that, if this is therapy, I've got you. I'm the therapist. Bang. It took, 2 years? We got it. You divide your life up for the different versions of you.
Exactly.
And that's the problem, because you never know who you are and what you're doing.
Exactly, Rob.
And then if those worlds cross over, you panic. You don't know who you need to be.
Exactly. Am I the man drinking a frozen cocktail in the field, watching Crowded House? Or am I the guy at home promising his daughter that he'll camp with her in the garden to make up for the fact that they went camping without her?
I think you're both, aren't you? Maybe pick one version. You can't pick one version. I was definitely a different version myself on the stag.
Actually, I would say that in a way, the great thing about having kids is that when you get back, you have got something to come back to that you're really looking forward to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You're not coming back to sit and watch more Glastonbury coverage, or coming back to, do you know what I mean? There's, you're like, oh, there's this thing I've really missed. So that gives you a kind of...
Yeah, I missed the girls so much on the stag do. Really did miss them. And like, especially because it's such a... Ibiza, such a sort of a debauched place. Yeah. It's basically drugs, house music and sex. You know me, I hate sex. And it's like so hedonistic out there.
Yeah.
That all you want to do is come back and sort of just cuddle your kids and lay on the sofa and be normal. But I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, let's hear about Ibiza, because we knew you were going on a stag do.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say it was Joe Swash's because I knew the papers would be all over it anyway.
Yeah, like the Roger Black stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say it was his in case he was trying to keep it quiet. However, considering he did not keep it quiet, neither did I, so it was in the paper anyway. So they flew out at like 8 a.m. from Stansted, and I flew out afternoon from City Airport because I wanted to go to Sports Day, because I didn't want to be that dad that missed Sports Day for a stag do.
Yeah, yeah, you couldn't be that guy.
No.
Particularly when you've got the Michael Johnson of Sports Day, who's sweeping up the awards.
Yeah, of course, you want to be there for the big, you know, if she was shit, I wouldn't have gone. But I'm joking. I'm joking.
How many people were on the stag, and were there any names beyond Swash, Gaffney and Beckett?
So Gaffney wasn't on the stag. We'll get to Gaffney in a minute.
Oh, Gaffney wasn't on the stag?
No, he just turns up.
He was just there. He wasn't hired like the Wealdstone Raider, though, was he?
No. this was what happened. I flying out on my own, and I knew they were battered because they'd been sending me messages. So I went to Stansted, and I got there really early because I thought it might be busy. Actually, it weren't busy at all. So I sat in a bar, and I had 2 pints of lager, but I hadn't had breakfast or lunch.
On your own.
On my own. Absolutely fucked out my head. I went to this bar around the corner. It was like a brewery type place in the airport. And I had these like weird beers that were like 5%. I didn't realise. I got so pissed because I hadn't eaten anything. Then I had to have a panic prep. And then I was stumbling about, nearly missed my flight, left my phone in the toilet.
Oh my God.
On 2 pints. I was like, I'm going to die here. This is, I haven't even got there yet, but it's because I hadn't eaten and stuff like that. Anyway, so, but then I arrived about 6:30, but then there's not enough bus drivers in Ibiza airport. So basically, I nearly missed my flight home as well because I was waiting. It got delayed an hour because there's not enough buses to take you to the planes. The planes were all there on time, but because there's a shortage of staff everywhere. So I got to the gate and I give him my passport and boarding card. This is on the way home. He went, where's your mask? I went, oh, I haven't got one. Do they have one? Because you don't need a mask anywhere in Spain or in England.
Yeah.
I went, oh, have they got one on the plane? He went, you need one for the bus. I said, pardon?
Oh, my God, no.
So in Spain, you still have to wear masks on buses. But I needed it for the bus from the terminal to the plane.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, come on, mate. Like, come on.
Oh, that would have talked him round.
I'm so tired. I was like, come on, mate.
I used my hand.
He was like, no. And I was like, okay, but...
Could I run alongside?
So now I'm going through my bag trying to find the one that I had on the plane on the way out. Because on the way out, you need a mask because you're going from England to Spain.
But what are they
going
to do? Just leave you on the runway?
Well, no, back in the terminal. So then I'm like, I couldn't remember seeing a mask in any of the shops because no one fucking wears masks anymore, do they?
Yeah, no.
And then luckily someone found one in the queue come through. So I went, thank you. So I had his mask and I put that on, walked down a corridor, got on a bus. Everyone's taking their mask off.
Oh.
So no one's even wearing a mask. And then you get on the plane and you don't need a mask from Spain to England. So I got there late and then I'd slept on the plane. So I'd slept for 2 hours on the plane, right?
Yeah.
Get there late.
2 pints and he's out like a bloody light.
I know, it's such a dad, right? And anyway, and then I get a taxi to go straight to Ocean Beach because that's where they are.
So Ocean Beach is Wayne Lineker's nightclub, kind of, what's it called, beach club.
Well, it is. I thought it was like an expensive, exclusive, like posh beach club. It's not. It's basically a nightclub in the day.
Yeah.
I walked in at 8 o'clock. People have been there since midday. Everyone is absolutely fucked out of their head, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I mean that. I'm the only one with my top on still. Everyone's got their top off. Right?
Are you sober at this? But have you sobered up?
Yeah, completely sober. I walk in and it's an Ocean Beach. It's a bit like a Game of Thrones brothel, but outside. Okay.
I've not seen Game of Thrones, but I'd say that sounds accurate.
It is fucking bananas, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is absolutely shit-faced. They're all sweating. They're all drunk.
Yeah.
There's like people walking through burnt, but like third-degree burns that they'll have to...
Everyone's English.
I'd quickly changed my top and I hadn't even had a shower. I was still a bit smelly from the plane, but I'd put a bit of after.
Have you got your suitcase with you at this point?
No, I dropped the suitcase off, changed my clothes that I was travelling in to go out because I thought I was going to an exclusive fancy place. So I was like, I'll put my nice top on, turn up, everyone's just like in pants.
Oh my God.
Everyone's just in their pants. It looks like toddlers in the garden with a paddling pool. Right? But shit-faced. And I'm walking through and I can barely get through because there are all no Joe Swashes there. Now I've turned up and I'm off the telly.
Yeah.
And there was, at one point, I'm trying to walk through and it's bedlam. Everyone's so close to each other.
Yeah.
I can't get through in the end.
There wasn't a woman breastfeeding on the floor, was there?
Absolutely. Well, but not to a child. Plenty of that going on. And I'm trying to walk through, right? And this woman went, "Hey, ain't you famous?" and pushed me. She was my height and size. She was a solid woman, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get to my mate. I'm trying to walk past. She pushes me again. You know that game in Gladiators, we have to run through them?
It's
like that. She was so solid, I couldn't push past her. I had to go back and go another way. Because you can't go across because there's loads of swimming pools everywhere. And I'm in my nice clothes.
Oh,
I'm in my going
God.
Out nice clothes because I thought
you're
I was going
sober at this stage.
Completely sober, everyone's just like on top of me. And then people all want photos, but they're all so pissed and like draping yourself on you. This girl wanted a photo, and she leant into me, and her leg went onto mine because I've got shorts on, and I literally felt where she's been there about a week and not shaved anymore. The stubbly legs going down my leg, and I was nearly physically sick. Everyone stinks. Everyone's got little white bits in the corner of their mouth. Everyone's tongues are a luminous yellow. And they're about...
Why are their tongues a luminous yellow?
Because they've just been drinking shit all day and no water. And then they're going... About eight people went, "God, you smell nice. You smell lovely." And I was like, what's going on here? But and I realised, I'm the only one that doesn't stink of piss and shit.
Oh.
They all just stink of sweat and sun cream.
God.
Anyway, so we all left because they were so pissed. I arrived with one person being escorted out who'd been chucked out for being too drunk, right? And then I walked out and I go in and then they're all drunk. So we go, let's all leave. And then we go to leave and then we walk back.
So you don't even get to have a drink at this stage?
Oh, mate, you know, I at one point I asked for... I just said, can I have a cold beer, please, to like this waitress? Because I didn't know what was going on with the drinks.
Yeah.
There was bottles of vodka everywhere. Oh, my God, it's mental. Anyway, so I left with them. So I've had one beer at this stage. And then we're all walking back. And now I'm sort of like a shepherd trying to get him in a cab. I've become dad of the group. And then we end up going KFC. And I had some KFC.
KFC? You've flown to Spain to go to KFC?
I had it two nights running, mate.
Oh, my word.
I didn't see a Spanish person. It's like Magaluf. I thought it was a bit more exclusive, but I went to San Antonio.
Two sides to Ibiza.
Yeah, and I think I went to the wrong one.
I've got that feeling, yeah.
Anyway, so I get them back to the hotel.
What time are we at now? About 9 p.m.
So no, it's about 9 o'clock. Anyway, we get and then it takes an hour to get them all home. Get them home at 10 o'clock. I've had two beers before the flight. Slept for 2 hours. Arrived, had one beer, and I've got them all back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think fuck this. I just go to bed, right?
Yeah.
I went to bed at 11. Woke up the next day at 10 a.m.
Oh, my God, Rob.
So I've had 11
You've
hours sleep.
Had 11 hours sleep on a stag do?
Yeah, I wake up to a load of messages. I went to bed at 11. They all messaged again and went back out at 1 a.m. till 6.
What do you mean? So they went to bed and then got back up?
Yeah, but the thing is, this stag do was so full on that I could slip out of it because I just went to bed at the interval.
Yeah.
So I had 11 hours sleep. I wake up, they're all dead to the world. So I started writing the book.
I did a chapter of the book. Robert's doing in 2 weeks.
No, but I started... No, I'm nearly there now. So I woke up, got a coffee, sat on my balcony, wrote a chapter of the book, right?
Oh, lovely.
Gets to midday. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then they all wake up and then we went to another bar.
Yeah.
And then we sat around a pool. And then we sat around a pool all day. This is really nice. That's when Gaffney turned up. Nice guy, Gaffney. Basically, he's out in Ibiza every summer. I don't know what he's doing there.
Yeah.
But he's just in Ibiza. He was there. He's got two twin daughters. We should get him on.
I'd happily get Dean Gaffney on. Happily get Dean Gaffney on.
Both 25. One of his rules of life. He'll never get a girl younger than his daughters. Good man. He told me that like he was some sort of conquering hero. You know, like a bit of a...
We both got that rule, to be fair, Rob, haven't we?
Yeah, to be fair, actually, yeah.
That is one of the best things I've ever heard.
He's a lovely bloke, though, Dean.
Yeah.
He's a really nice bloke. He's lovely. He's known Joe from years ago, so he just sort of turned up. But that's what Ibiza's like. It's a bit like an 18 to 30s, but for older people, that they all know each other, blah, blah, blah.
You met Wayne?
Met Wayne Lineker. So that was the next day. So basically, that was Saturday.
You went back to Ocean Beach the next day?
No, so hear me out. So this is Sunday, right? So on the Saturday, I'm around the pool day, and I say, look, lads, I can't go. I'll get to such. So Saturday, we sat around a pool and then we went to, this place called Cafe Mambo's or Mint Lounge or whatever. It's where you sit and have dinner and you look out at the sunset.
Yeah.
And as the sun goes down, a DJ plays music and when the sun sets, everyone claps.
Oh.
No. Don't are that. I'd say 50 women doing little heart fingers and someone trying to take a photo through the fingers of the sun.
No.
But they're all looking at it like it don't happen every fucking night.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I've seen the sun go down.
Yeah.
And if you miss it, you've got a chance every day.
Yeah, of course. I mean...
And anywhere...
Was it a particularly good sunset?
Yeah, but not one that was exclusive to the restaurant.
No.
It wasn't like a commissioned sunset from fucking Cafe Mambo's, whatever it's called. Anyway, so we did that. And then we went to another bar. And then again, I drank loads of water and I tapped out about midnight. They stayed out to about 6 a.m. again because they're just a bit more hardcore than me.
Yeah.
So I went back to bed at midnight.
How was it tapping out of stag do? Did you feel like a conquering hero?
I just went, I'm going home now. Everyone's so drunk.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep up with them, to be honest with you. A lot of them... So, like, Joe Swash, bless him, like, it was all in the paper, like, him having this stag do. He was drunk, but he weren't going too mad. He was sat there, and he was sitting at that restaurant. Every time, like, parents walk past, he's got a little baby called Rose, who's about a year. He kept going, oh, that baby looks like Rose, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And in the paper, it's like, Joe Swash talks to blonde bombshell. Oh. Do you know who that blonde bombshell was? The waitress. Yeah. Taking our order.
Oh my God.
And they put in a photo of Ron.
That's
but yeah, it, he was doing all that. But what's quite funny, seeing Ibiza people that have been, when they were young, going back with their kid. Oh, and it's right, not the same. It was very much like Glasgow with kids. Yeah, they were just walking past going, I wish I was sat at that restaurant doing heart fingers, but now I can't because I've got my baby.
It's a weird place to take your kids, isn't it, Ibiza?
I just think, go there if you're young or if you want to get pissed up, but just go to somewhere else.
Just go to Centre Parks.
Or the other side of the island. You don't need to go to San Antonio. It's just proper party central. And everyone's quite young there as well. So it's not much to do for kids.
And so did you have a third night out?
Yeah, so I went back at midnight. I've been drinking since midday, Josh, around the pool.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's pretty...
That's 12 hours...
But by anyone else's stretch, that's a good innings.
Yeah, like I've been on cocktails, I've had shots, I've been drinking, I've been catching up vodka... You know, I've been drinking that for 12 hours, but I don't know about you, but after 12 hours of drinking, I quite like to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I walked home, went to bed, fell asleep at midnight, woke up 10 a.m., another 10 hours in the bank.
Gosh. You've had more sleep in one night than I had in three at Glastonbury. Twice.
Guess what happened the next day? No one's up. Another chapter done.
Oh, love it.
I'm flying, Josh.
It's like a writer's retreat.
Who knew that Joe Swish's stag do was the key to open up my creativity?
I love that you brought the laptop. You knew.
I just thought if there's a couple of hours in the morning and I was no way I was staying out till 6 a.m. drinking. I physically couldn't, Josh. No.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Samsung, Expedia, and Sephora. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all gel fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit www.juvederm.com.
So then what happened then? On Sunday, we woke up. I did a bit of my book. We went for a bit of lunch. And then again, we ended up sitting around that pool. So I was like, look, lads, I ain't going Ocean Beach again. It was too much. I did have to have a lot of photos there and it was quite full on. I was like, there's no way I'm going back to Ocean Beach. Have a good one. It's not really my scene. It's too much. Anyway, so... It's midday again. I want to start drinking. So I ordered a bottle of rosé for around the pool because they were drinking rosé yesterday. No one's drinking rosé today. So I drink a bottle of rosé on my own, 12 till 1. Gets to 1 o'clock and we're going Ocean Beach. I'm like, I'm in. Straight away. Immediately. not even... Just because I got pissed.
Because you had sent me a voice note that ended with the words, I'm not going.
Yes, and about 12 hours later, I was in a cab to Ocean Beach.
Because then I said to my friends at Glastonbury, Rob's on Joe Swash's stag do. And he's not going to Ocean Beach. And they said, I bet he will be. And I was like, it's not really his thing, actually. The next thing I know, there's a screen grab of you and Wayne Lineker on Instagram.
Yeah, so basically, what happened was I got a bit drunk. And I didn't really want to go because I didn't want to have to take my top off, Josh.
Have
you ever taken your top off at a party?
Of course I haven't, Rob.
No. So, like, you sort of need to be drunk enough to go topless, don't you?
Why do you need to take your top off?
Because it's really hot and it's sunny.
That makes
and
it hotter.
No,
it's all on your skin then, the sun.
Yeah, I know, but it was really hot. And anyway, I was drunk, so I had confidence to take my top off. And then people wanted photos, and I said, are people taking photos of me with my top off, Josh, and putting them on the internet?
Oh, no.
That's not nice, is it? And then I didn't have to put my top on for the photos. Then that looks really pathetic. 1 second. But actually, in defence of Ocean Beach, because I have slagged it off quite hard, when I got there at midday, between midday and about six, it was quite good fun. Everyone's drinking and laughing, and it's in the sun, and the music's playing. And it's like a big event. It's like quite a mad thing to experience. But then when it got to 6 o'clock, everyone started getting too drunk, and I'm like, I'm out of here. Because it is just like full of people getting drunk and getting off of each other. And if you had a good angle, you could have made it look like I was doing some terrible things when all I was doing was just sitting, staring at the floor, panicking. Yeah. And then I left at 6 o'clock, and then I went home, and then I back to the hotel. But then I bumped into another bloke off the stag who was tired and didn't want to go Ocean Beach. Yeah. And then we went out for dinner and had a nice dinner. But then
just the two of you went out for a lovely dinner together.
Yeah, but this is the funniest story of the stag, right? So
how well did you know it?
I met him once before and stuff, but I don't want to go into too many details about who it was on the stag. Okay. But basically, we was out for dinner and he was saying, oh, my missus is fuming with me. And I was like, why? I went, well, she's got the ump. Because basically, all the photos of the stag and all of my Instagram stories have been in the paper. And she had the ump of him because in these photos of him at Ocean Beach surrounded by all these women in bikinis, he didn't have his wedding ring on.
And
he was sat there going, but I swear I didn't take it off. I don't know what, I'll never do that. That's not me. And then I explained to him that on Instagram, when you film sometimes, it mirror flips it so that your left hand, your right hand, your left hand.
Oh, my word.
Okay. So, because I said to him, look, this was at dinner. Your watch is on the other hand. He went, oh, fuck. I went, it flips it. Didn't you know?
Oh, my God, this is like Jonathan Creek.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. And then also I went, so just tell her that. And I can explain it to her if you want.
Yeah.
Because we're both sober at this point. It's like 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, having a bit of dinner. And then he went, but it's not just that. The other problem is I bought loads of shots for everyone when I was drunk, and he spent about £300-400 on shots, right?
Whoa, how much is a shot?
I don't know, but I think he was battered and he kept on buying them for everyone. So basically, he's got charged like £300 or whatever it is, and they've got a joint account, and it's come through £300, but it doesn't say the name of the bar or nightclub. It just says, like, I'm making this name up, but like, say Carmela Sanchez. Right? So it's just come up £300 to this Spanish woman.
Oh my God.
Right? And she's going spare because when you Google this name, I'm not going to say the real name, but this name on Instagram basically comes up what I'll describe as an Instagram porn star.
Oh my word. So why is that the name?
So it's basically a woman in bikini, like just posing in Ibiza. So very much.
This is the worst story I've ever heard.
So
this
if you're at home and you're the wife or girlfriend and you see no wedding ring on the finger but you don't understand Instagram and the mirror flip.
Easy situation to
get yourself into. She's done nothing wrong here. I'm on her side until it's explained. You also see the Spanish person's name and what, you know.
£300,
right?
Oh my God.
So he's going spare because he was drunk. So he's now going, who's this woman? Have I been scammed? What's? Because he didn't do anything. He's done nothing wrong because I was with him. I put him into his room. He's done nothing wrong at all. Then I work it out because he looked at the thing and went, I recognise her though. I think she was the shot girl at the club. So the shot girls at these bars are self-employed.
No.
So they buy the drinks from the venue.
Oh, my
And
word.
They sell you the drinks at whatever price they want to sell you them.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if this is true, allegedly, this is what we're surmising. I think that's what it is. So they buy the shots in some bars, and I don't know which bar this happened in, but in some bars, the shot girls buy the shots.
So this wasn't in Ocean Beach?
I don't know where it was, because he'd been out before, but he'd been buying shots in a bar, and I don't know which one it was. I don't want to say it was where it was, because I don't know where it was.
Yeah.
But I worked it out that basically what they do is they buy it off the venue, they go around selling it, and then they use their card machine for you to pay.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is... That is an incredible situation.
So he's sat there going spare. So it looks like he's basically given a woman £300 for God knows what and took his wedding ring off. But it's just the mirror flip and he's bought shots directly.
That is incredible. And did it clear it up, Rob?
Yes, it did. Because I messaged his missus explaining and then she texted me back, bless her, saying, hi, Rob, sorry to ruin your evening. I feel so silly.
Ruin my evening, mate? It's been one of the best dinners I've ever had. This is incredible.
You've made Josh's week. And she went, sorry if I ruined your evening. I got a bit... And also, bless him, because if you're seeing all these stories in the newspaper and stuff, going, I didn't really understand what was going on, and now it's been explained, I feel so silly, I'm so sorry. But like, oh my God, it was so funny. But like, I felt a bit like Jonathan Creek when I explained it. His eyes lit up. Because he knew he'd done nothing wrong, but everything was suggesting he had.
Yeah, of course. What a situation for him to be.
I know. It was funny, wasn't it?
What a stag do, Rob.
Oh, no, it was great. And they're really good lads, and they were. It was funny. And then they went on till like 6 a.m. But I got home last night, but they were delayed 4 hours, I think, on their flight to Stansted.
You got home Monday night?
I got home Monday afternoon, about 6 o'clock.
Oh, my word. And how much can you complain about that? Like, about being knackered? I suppose you're not knackered. You've had...
Do you know what? I'm not.
4 great nights sleep.
I've had 30 hours sleep in 3 nights.
Oh, my God.
I feel unbelievable.
And you've written half a book.
I've written half a book. It's been a real good few days for me.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think it's the most peak of our different lives that I'm at Glastonbury.
When I was in Ocean Beach, though, like, I felt a bit out of place because it is quite geezery and like Essex-y. It's a bit towie and all that. And I'm sort of all right in those situations, but I still do feel a bit like this isn't really me. I'd rather go and watch an indie band and wear a T-shirt. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really into dance music. I don't think anyone else is there anymore. It's gone quite mainstream. Like, whenever a song come on with lyrics, people are buzzing.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, everywhere you go, though, in Ibiza, you hear dum, 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 dum.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, I'd love to watch Josh here.
Well, you know, I've been on a stag do there for a few hours, Rob.
A few hours? Ocean Beach?
Yeah, I've been to a stag do at Ibiza and we did a few hours in the day at Ocean Beach.
Yeah, because it's quite an experience.
And it wasn't at peak Ocean Beach.
Yeah, because actually, between midday and six, it was just a really lovely, chilled beach bar. But
yeah, like Ivo Graham bought a board game.
What, to Ocean Beach?
Yeah.
But it's fairly chilled, but went from like 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Or midnight, whenever it shuts. It's basically a club.
Yeah.
That starts at midday rather than at like 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. So if you turned up sober to a nightclub at 3 a.m.
What time does it close?
I think about midnight.
Right.
I don't know how Wayne Lineker does it.
No, I don't know how he does it.
He doesn't stop.
No.
There was a few Perrin and Hill fans that come over.
Was there?
But yeah, a bit like...
Not as many as at Glastonbury.
There was a lot of people asking me if I was a TikToker who had no idea who I was, just because people wanted photos and they didn't really understand.
And, you know, you're not far off a TikToker, let's be honest.
Also, I got a bit shirty with people towards the end because it was a bit like non-stop. And I was sat around the pool one day and this pissed mum come over. She was about 50. She was part of a hen do. So many hen do's and stag do's that she was battered. And I was laying on a sunbed. She went, you're all right, do you mind if I lay it with you? I went, yeah, I do. And then she lay down on me and I got up and went, fuck off. I just don't want a 50-year-old woman laying on me. Do you know what I mean? If I'm going to get, you know, I don't want that.
No.
So I was a bit rude, and I sort of just went, yeah, I'm going to... And I was slagging people off at the sunset place. The lads were giving me shit going, because I was just... But I can't help it. I think that's why I'm a comedian. I go against the crowd. Whatever everyone likes, I don't really like, to be honest. Apart from football, I go with the crowd. Anyway, it was fun, though, and I slept loads and wrote loads of books.
A stag do two halves, really, wasn't it?
Do you know what? Because they were so up for it, it actually allowed me chance to slip off. If they all carried on till about 2-3, I would have had to stay with.
Yeah.
But because I was going halfway through, I was like, I'm done, lads. But I just couldn't go on for that long.
2 hours sleep on the plane, 11 hours sleep first night,
yeah,
10 hours sleep second night. Incredible scenes.
Also, as well, on the plane, I slept for 2 hours, but listening to these Michael Seeley meditation and quietening subconscious negativity and all that, I turned up to Ibiza Zen.
Yeah, of course. And yet...
And then went to Ocean Beach and I went very much...
to Ocean Beach and meeting Dean Gaffney.
From Zen to Yen, because it is not cheap. It was great fun.
Oh, well, it's been... I'd say that's it now for my summer hijinks. You?
No, I've got a bit of hijinks left.
Have you?
Bit of jinx, something about me. There's a little trip to Whitstable in there, going to Greece.
But that's with family.
Oh, yeah, so like not solo jinx. No more solo jinx for me.
No.
No, maybe not. I don't know.
That's it now until the...
Till when? So what have you got to look forward to?
What, in my life?
Yeah.
That's the bleakest way to end the podcast ever. What have I got to look forward to?
You haven't got anything now. You need to think of something.
I haven't got a family holiday.
You're going to camp in the garden with your daughter?
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
I've got a tent you could borrow, but...
No, I've got work. I've got that. I've got nothing in my diary that I would file under fun rather than work until I turn 40 next April.
And do you know what? The sad thing of that is, you're not lying.
I'm not lying, Rob.
You need to book something in.
I've got the England Games in November. Does that count? Not really. Christmas?
November? I think you need to book something. You might have a weekend away with you. Also, it's hard, though, to have a weekend away with a one-year-old, isn't it?
Yeah, in many ways, going to Whitstable was a real lesson in how nice it is in our own house.
I think, why don't you just have a little... You know when people, like, abstain from sex for 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe just abstain from fun and accept you're not going to have that...
Yeah.
...until your youngest is older.
I think that's what I'm going to do, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best way, because you can't force it.
No, exactly. I'm going to the... oh, my God. I said that with excitement in my voice.
Go on.
I'm going to the nursery picnic on Saturday.
Oh dear, you'll be all right.
What a life.
What a life. Right, quick small business shout out.
Quick small biz shout out.
Dear Rob and Josh, myself and my partner love listening to your podcast. Thank you so much for all the laughs. I wondered if you could give my dad's business a shout out. It has opened in the last year and everyone involved has worked really hard on it. It's called The Secret Farm and is in Moggahanger, Bedfordshire.
What is that? Oh.
Bedfordshire. It's a pick your own fruit farm with lots of activities for all the family, including a beach, Moggahanger on sea, complete with palm trees, play tractors, often the real ones, and food / ice cream / bar. A really affordable fun day out for everyone. Just book a ticket online and it's thesecret.farm. On Facebook, it's The Secret Farm UK, or Instagram, the.secret.farm. That's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
I'm trying to look at it. But, oh, yeah, look at that. Pick your own fruit. That'd be fun.
Oh, that would be nice. That's the kind of entertainment I need, Rob.
You need that. Some wholesome stuff.
Yeah, wholesome stuff.
Farm-to-farm entertainment. That's what you want.
Exactly. It'd be like my childhood, won't it?
Farm-to-plate. Farm-to-heart. Farm-to-heart. Feels like a slogan. I'll work on it. I'll come
you
back to you.
You. Why don't you go away to Ibiza, get up in the morning, you'll have hours to work on it.
Yeah, I keep telling that. Lou, I've got a new book deal. I'm going to go to Ibiza for a month. See you later.
Maybe that's just what Dean Gaffney's doing. He's penning his memoirs.
I've come back, Lou, with 10,000 words and regret. But I'm here and it's been productive. Okay, right, we'll see you on Friday for a guest episode.
See you then. Bye.